Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard of it. The young men came and wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. This is a particularly appropriate passage for this week, with Halloween in the middle of the week. Who here likes horror movies or scary films? Raise your hand. We like to be scared out of our wits. Unfortunately, in most horror films, there's a formula for how things go. You know that the person who's talking on his phone, while the bad man is looking through the window at him and he doesn't know it, he's going to get killed, isn't he? And we know that if you're running away from the monster, don't turn around and look back. You'll trip and fall and the monster will get you. There are rules and regulations in horror films or in any kind of film where there's going to be a monster that's going to get you. It's like in Star Trek. Don't beam down wearing a red shirt. Don't. Kirk, Spock, McCoy, they beam down with a security detail wearing red shirts. Kirk says to Spock, McCoy, you come over here with me, over here. You guys in the red shirts, go over there behind that big rock. And there's a monster over there, and they get eaten. We've seen it in episode after episode after episode. Horror films, or any film with a monster, has a formula. If you see a meteor come down and hit the ground, don't go up and touch it. Something will pop out and eat you, or you'll get radiation and turn into a blob. Horror films have formula. And this story has a formula too. And one of the principal characteristics of almost horror films is always a stupid person or people. If I were in a horror film, I'd be one of the dumb ones. I'm going to tell you right now. And here in today's story about Ananias and Sapphira, we got two dumb ones. Two dumb ones with whom, quite frankly, most of us can relate. They said that they would take part in the tradition of the New Testament church. In the New Testament church there in Jerusalem, it was the practice that you would sell all your possessions, all your stuff, all your things. You'd sell everything that you had, and you would then bring the money in and lay it at the apostles' feet, so that you had no possessions to hinder you, no possessions to chain you down and keep you from being able to do what God calls you to do. I want to tell you, moving is not fun, and when you have too much stuff, it takes forever to move and you end up having a hurt back. Trust me. So get rid of it all. Can I get an amen? Ugh. You're half asleep. I had you laugh and now you're asleep. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You got rid of your stuff. All of your stuff. And you laid the proceeds from the sale at the apostles' feet. Unfortunately, Ananias and Sapphira decided they didn't necessarily trust the church. They decided when they sold the property that they had that they would take a part of the money, not all of it, a part of the proceeds from the sale and give it to the apostles, give it to the church, and keep a part for themselves, keep a part of it for their own usage. So Ananias comes in and he brings the proceeds or part of the proceeds from the sale and he lays it at Peter's feet and gives it as the offering, knowing that everybody else had given everything and they had promised to give everything and are claiming they're giving everything while only giving part. You got to remember, the New Testament church was looking for the return of Jesus. They believed Jesus was going to come back next Tuesday, their next Tuesday. It was more important for the people to take their things and sell them and give the money to the church so that the church could advance the gospel, advance the communication of the gospel. And if you had any needs, if you needed food or you needed shelter, you would then go to the church and the church would provide those needs for you. It was sort of like a little commune, if you will. Only Ananias and Sapphira decided not to play along. It's almost as if they didn't trust the church. We'll keep a portion of it for ourselves. Ananias has come in. He's laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter asks, is this what you sold the property for? Yes, it is. What would possess you, he says to Ananias, what would possess you to lie, not to us, but to God? And fear took a hold of Ananias, and he dropped dead. And so the young men came in, wrapped up his body, and carried him out. Sometimes I think that's a good idea, to watch a young man and have him standing by. We got a few back here. Nah. I'm sure there was lots of whispering going on after that. Did you see what happened? He dropped dead. I wonder if Sapphira knows. Oh, don't tell her. Let's find out what happens. In comes Sapphira, comes up to Peter. He says, did you sell your property for thus and such a price? I love how the passage doesn't specify what the price was. Just thus and such a price. Well, yes, she said. Why would you test the Holy Spirit? The feet of those who carried your husband out dead are waiting at the door, and they're going to carry you out too. And then she drops dead in fear. And it says in probably one of the greatest understatements of the entire Bible, and the church was terrified. Well, I think so. Now, the message of the story isn't give all that you've got. Last Sunday, we heard about tithing. That because God has given us everything that we have and are, we are called to return just a small portion, a tithe, 10% of what God has given us, because God has given us everything. The other way to look at it is that we return all that we have to God, and God gives us 90% back to live. Here, the message is different. The calling is not to give it all, but to give our all, our confession of faith, our life, our integrity, our word, our times and talents. Yes, even the totality of our gifts and our service to God. We're called as the people of God to be committed to being the people of the gospel, not just on Sunday mornings. God calls us to commit our entire lives to walking humbly with God, to loving justice and mercy, and doing works of compassion, and living by faith. We are called to be the people of God, not just 10% of our lives, not just 20 or 30 or 50 or 75%, but all of our lives. Amen. We are called to be the people of God and true to our commitment. Instead of holding back a part of ourselves, we're called to lay it all on the altar of God. You see, the essence of the story, in this story, Ananias and Sapphira die and they're buried. And the church is terrified. But the essence of the story isn't so much the death, the physical death of Ananias and Sapphira, as it is the spiritual death of Ananias and Sapphira. The instant they conspired to withhold a portion of the sale and go against their word, their commitment, was when they started to die spiritually. The instant we withhold a portion of our lives, a portion of our living, our mind, our heart, our soul, our study, our understanding, our families, the instant we start to withhold a portion of our lives from God is the instant that we start dying spiritually. The instant we separate out a portion of our living and say, oh, this can't come into the presence of God, is the instant we start dying spiritually. It's the instant we're stupid like Ananias and Sapphira and believe that we can't trust God with that part of my life. I can't trust God with the problem in my marriage. I can't trust God with my kids. I can't trust God with my parents. I can't trust God with my relationships, for I'm afraid what God might do. The instant we withhold a part of our lives is the instant we start dying spiritually. And that's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They began to die spiritually because they withheld not just a portion of the sale, but their faith in God, their faith in their sisters and brothers in the community. So I want to ask you today, what are you withholding? What in your life are you withholding from God? Are you going to play the victim in the horror film? Are you going to wear the red shirt on beam down day? Or are you going to turn your entire life over to God and trust in God that God will use you and use the family of faith to work God's wonders? It's a sad story, Ananias and Sapphira. I feel sorry for them because I understand and share their experience of having a part of my life die when I withhold an element of my living from God. Oh, I can't trust God or trust the church or trust my sisters and brothers with this aspect of my living, with my money or my presence or my gifts. I can't sing in the choir. If I sing in the choir, people will laugh at me. Yeah, right. I can't serve in the church. I don't have anything to offer. Yeah, right. You have yourself and the gifts that God has given you to develop and share. We're all called to share our lives with each other, with the family of God, so that the gospel might be lived by all. Not withhold, but give, turn over, and share. What part in your life, and I dare say each of us has a part of our lives that we're withholding, what part of your life are you withholding from God today? I want you to consider that right where you're sitting. Consider that. In the silence of your hearts, what part, just choose one, what part of your life are you, like Ananias and Sapphira, withholding from God? Now, with that thought in mind, give it over to God. Oh, I can't give this to God. God doesn't want it. God wants all of you. I can't do that. God might change me. Let God change you. I have a dear friend who struggles day after day after day with alcoholism. And he told me just recently, I can't turn over that aspect of my life, but I'm afraid God won't forgive me if I turn that piece of my life over, because I've done horrible things under the influence. And I just had to look at him and say, baloney. There's nothing that any of us have done that God won't reach out the eternal arms and say, welcome home. I have another friend who told me one day, Greg, I can't give all of my life to God because I'm gay. And I'm afraid if I give a part of my life to God, God won't accept it, or God will take it and change it. And I said, have faith. Trust God. Give all of your life to God. And the good news is, God wants to use him, all of him. God received him, all of him. And the good news is, God gave it back to live and to serve and to love others and to be whole and complete. God will use each of us, no matter where we're from, no matter who we are, but only if we'll give all of ourselves to God. Wherever you are in your life, whatever you're withholding from God, I invite you today to turn it over. to release it to God, to lay it on the altar, to lay it at the apostles' feet, metaphorically, and allow God to take and change and transform it so that we might live together eternally today. Don't be the victim. Allow God to transform your life for all eternity.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2007 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.